The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
One of the interesting issues or approaches to these little talks that I give is when I find myself with nothing to talk about, that nothing occurs to me to say. So then I do a little reflection. One of the things I consider, think about is that it's maybe very meaningful for some of you to come here and hear the Dharma, hear some teaching, and that I want to be respectful of you and your interest, and I should try to think of something profound to say. And certainly, after all these years of being a Dharma, certainly I should have something profound and meaningful to say. But then I look and there's nothing there. And then I think that, but that's profound. That's really good. So that's what I'll talk about today. And the value of nothing. So sometimes we realize what we're up to. We pay attention to ourselves. And for example, we might realize that we're afraid and we're spending a lot of time planning. And it's important to plan and organize the world just so the world is a safe place. And then at some point we realize, you know, we don't have to do all this planning to be safe. And so maybe there's a letting go of planning. Or maybe there's a lot of desires of wanting things to be a certain way. And having certain acquisitions, having certain experiences, and there's all this desire. And at some point, people also realize, you know, I don't know, always desiring, always wanting, I'm not really here, I'm not really living. Well, and sometimes they let go of their desire. Sometimes people live a lot by issues of identity, wanting to be someone in people's eyes, in their own eyes, wanting to attain some certain kind of status or recognition or something. And at some point, hopefully, if you pay attention to what's going on, you realize that this is suffering to do this. It's not so comfortable to do it. And so there's a letting go of trying to be someone for anyone, to prove yourself or defend yourself or get a certain promotion in order to get be seen better in people's eyes or something. Sometimes there's resentments that we carry. And the resentment, the angers, you know, have a simmering and planning and scheming, and or they have us being critical of ourselves. How could I be this way? And we notice how much, you know, if you pay attention carefully, you notice the cost of all these things and realize how much we can let go. It hurts us to do this. And one of the remarkable things is to appreciate how much you can let go of, how much you could stop doing, spinning out, involved. And that's for your betterment, that you're actually better off without these things because they hurt. And that having something, having these things, just, you know, really interferes with your life, in a certain kind of way diminishes your life. And that perhaps not having those things, the fear, the anger, the desire, the identity issues, in a nice way, a certain way, enhances you, more open, more free, more at ease, more relaxed. And so you see after a while that having less is having more in the spiritual life or in the practice life. And so then some people think, well, this is great. Now I'm going to do a spiritual practice. I'm going to do spirit. So now I have to do it well. I realize how I was, you know, going in the wrong direction before, but now I've found the true path, Buddhism, whatever. So then I have to learn all about it. Let's get all the books out. And, you know, you don't have to learn about it. You can let go. You trouble hearing? I think it's too late. Okay. And so Buddha, we approach Buddhism sometimes the same way. The very thing. And or maybe identity issues. You know, now I need to be a good Buddhist. So you look around the room and see, well, all the Buddhists are wearing So I better go out and get a new wardrobe. So, you know, the Buddhist costume, because I can be a good Buddhist. Or you're supposed to be always having a lot of loving kindness, and so I've got to show up in a loving way. Heaven forbid that I come to IMC grumpy. So people, sometimes they come to Buddhism, they pick up the very thing they're trying to free themselves from, and then there's desires and identity issues and sometimes aversions. And then at some point, if you're lucky, you realize, I don't need to do this. I can let go of being a good Buddhist. I don't have to be a good Buddhist. In fact, to be a good Buddhist, maybe you're not going to be free if you try too hard at that. And so there's letting go of that. All these some things that we want to do and attain, and you realize all these things, I can do less. And maybe you don't have to do anything. Maybe there are times where it's okay just to be. Just to be and be present in a simple way. Maybe the always wanting something interferes with what's best in us from being there. And that one of the possibilities in meditation is to learn how to put down all the things, all the desires, all the fears, all the doings that we're doing, and to realize the wonderfulness of having nothing. Someone who's fully matured in the Theravadin tract is sometimes referred to as someone who's akincha. And akincha means someone who has, it means it means nothing, not, and kincha means something. So not something, so have nothing. So someone who has nothing. And in a practical way, you know, the monastic, and certainly the monastic tradition, it usually partly refers to someone who doesn't have a lot of acquisitions. But in the spiritual point of view, it means someone who no longer has the desire for acquisitions, has the tendencies towards greed and anger and aversion. And so to have nothing, and to feel comfortable with having nothing, to have nothing, to show up and just be, and not needing to be a good talk, not needing to have anything to talk about, not needing to have anything happen particularly except to show up and be here. So that's how it is for me today, to some degree, I hope, because I had nothing to say and I felt fine about it. And I tried to share being fine about it with you, so I had something to say. So we have a couple of minutes, and do you want any comments about that or questions about that? Or maybe some of you have some really good rebuttals to that, some really good protests saying, you know, this that was fine, but there's really things that I have to do, and it's never good enough to do nothing, have nothing. So, yes, Bill.
I was reading through a collection of Zen aphorisms once, and I came across this story about one of the very early Zen teachers in San Francisco. He had some kind of menial job, but whenever he saved up enough money, he'd rent a hall in the city somewhere, and he'd put up signs announcing that there was going to be a gathering and meditation. And one time he said on a sign, there will be absolutely nothing of any importance said tonight. And he couldn't understand why no one showed up. This isn't really a comment on your talk, but this story came to mind.
We could have our sign outside could say the Inside Nothing Center. Nothing Meditation Center. Be dangerous. So, that's Nyogen Sensaki. He came to, I don't know when, he came in the 10s or the 20s, 1910s, 1920s, I think. And he was told not to teach when he first came here. He was a teacher in Japan. So he spent, I think, 20 years or something just working in laundromats and different things. And
residential hotel manager, late night shift or something like that.
And then at some point he started to teach.
Um, Can you hear me? Am I coming through? I have a little bit of cold.
Is it green light?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really happy that you had nothing to say, because and that you said it, that you said you had nothing to say, because for like many years in my life, I've always thought I have to have something interesting, or it's like a performance of life or something. Uh-huh. And I've many times said to friends, like, well, if I don't have anything interesting to say, do you still want to visit with me? I mean, because I might be boring to you. And sometimes people would come over and we just sit and do nothing. I don't know if that was a good thing or not, but it just gives me a lot of peace to know that I don't have to always be kind of coming up with ideas. There's a lot of, to me, that's where all my stress comes from, is the fact that I have to be on all the time and have this constant flow. Uh-huh. So I really appreciate you doing that.
Beautiful.
It's wonderful.
I hope that you develop more confidence in that you don't have to show up and do anything. And what happens, what can happen, for two things. One is, there's no requirement to do anything. And if sometimes that can actually create a very good connection with another person, to do nothing with someone. So I told sometimes a story of when we were considering buying this building. Their ministers who owned it were kind of a little bit Christian mystics. They sat in silence, and they wanted us to have it because we sat in silence, to continue the silent practice. So it took a long time before they showed it to us. And finally, they were going to show it to us. And I came first and met the two ministers, the couple, and they gave us a tour of the building. It's a very small building, right? So it doesn't take long. And we were talking, But as the conversation proceeded, there were gaps in silence, and there were longer gaps and longer gaps. We finally came into this room here, the main sanctuary room, sat down in what was the pews that used to be here. And and we sat down, and one of those gaps in silence happened. And it continued for 10 minutes. We sat in silence. It was beautiful time together, very meaningful. And then some of our other people came to see the building as well. And when they came in, we got up and greeted them. And then when I had a chance, I went over to one of the ministers and said, "Someday we'll have to continue where we left off." So, something can happen when nothing's happening. Something deeper sometimes. And sometimes all the doings we do interferes with some deeper connection, heartfelt connection, human connection that can happen. That's one thing. The other thing that can happen sometimes when you do nothing and you're relaxed and comfortable with it, it allows for some of the deeper emerging, some of the deeper intuition to bubble up. And it might be very different than what's conventionally expected you to say or do, but you might have much more, it might be much, much wiser what comes out of you, or more meaningful comes out of you, if you just relax and don't think about it and give yourself lots of space and time to see what wants to emerge. And so sometimes in our scene, there's this expression, trusting the emergence. If you're not comfortable with nothing, it's hard to trust the emergence. So it's meaningful for me that how meaningful this was for you. Thank you. Okay. So we need to stop now and do our temple cleaning. Of course, we don't need to do it. But some of you might be very happy to